Who gives this woman to this man?
Her mother and I.
The tears. Expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 428, the second stanza, where we will sing together. 428, the second stanza. O let thy spirit me by constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed to keep thy statutes, so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. I shall not be ashamed then or afraid, when thy commandments I have irrespected. The second stanza, 428. Holy and infallible Word of God can be found in the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 1 through 13. Luke 11, verse 1 through 13.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, there was a feast, One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. O holy and eternal good Lord, thou hast in thy providence brought together a young man and a young woman to be born together in wedlock. O Lord, thy word says that every man receives his wife out of thy hand, that he might really know it, believe it, live out of it, but also the bride be given as a wife to her husband, to be a helpmate with one purpose, that it might be, Lord, first thy kingdom and all its interests, and then everything will be added into it. We ask for a blessing upon their marriage. It doesn't mean, Lord, that thou art always given what we desire. But we know one thing. Thy blessings are more than we can desire. Sometimes it seems to be against us. For everyone that's thine will be tried as silver, that thy face may shine upon them in glory, in thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom of a dirty bride. Washed her, cleansed her, indwelled her by his Spirit, that she might be inwardly beautiful. Remember us in preaching and listening, and what we need, Lord, is the application of thy Spirit to understand these things and to be a part of these things. Not just hearers, listeners, but it might be given to us to practice these things by a true faith. Remembrance, the furtherance of this day, that all might be to thy glory, protect us from evil, that it might be orderly well, that at the end of the day we might see thy goodness upon this couple who desire to be in thy house to ask for a blessing. Oh, I hope that they know it's not deserved, it's forfeited, but that they need grace and grace alone. Remember the families, fathers and mothers, grandfather, grandmothers, those who couldn't be here. Ik weet ook voor die grootmoeder in Nederland, die zojuist, nog niet zo lang geleden, haar man moest achterlaten op het kerkhof, begraven. Zegen ook haar daar en de familie, die van een grote afstand meeleeft. O Heere, bereid haar ook u te ontmoeten in vrede. Remember us the furtherance of this day, and remember them the furtherance of their lives, traveling to eternity, that they might be guided and directed by thy word and spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, the text verse can be found in verse 9, Luke 11, verse 9. Where the word of God says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord Jesus, especially in Luke 11, gave an explanation of this text verse by a parable. To understand it more properly, the Lord Jesus teaches by parables, natural histories or practice with a spiritual meaning. And he explained in this portion of the scriptures what he meant by knocking, seeking, finding, being answered. Well, he said to them this, and let's read it again. Verse 5 starting, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, let me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now closed or shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And then the text. So the explanation first, and then the text. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Let's go, congregation, to explain the parable. The man who gave slept. It was midnight. And for a thing, and a friend too, at visitors did he knocked at his door to awaken him. And then he asked, why did he knock at his door? He had a need. That's the first thing necessary. To have a need, to be awakened, to have a sorrow to back. He had no bread. What do we have to offer? What do you have to offer? What will you have to offer? Do you know what the parable says? He had nothing. That's grace to know that you don't have anything to offer to God and man. To die to yourself, all your resources, all your strength. For his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. So he had no bread. He was awakened. And what he did, he went to his friend with a need. Even not a need for himself. For a traveler who came to him and asked some refreshments, some bread, because he was probably tired. It's a kind of family picture, isn't it? Especially in the United States sometimes, when you have to travel hours and hours before you are coming to your destination. And they might knock at your door midnight and awaken you. And you are ready to prepare some food for them that they might have and may have a refreshment. That's what you want to do. And again, you'll never pray properly if you're not spiritually awakened from death to life. That's how God works. He revives. He makes you to have a need, a sorrow, a care. And then see, and that's what I said again, have a nothing. This heart. We are not prepared to help by nature. You might have good thoughts about yourself, but the Bible says clearly you don't know how miserable you are, poor and naked. That's the first thing you need to know, what's prayer, to be a beggar without righteousness and having nothing to offer to God and man. But he had a friend. And ultimately he thought, I go to that friend and awake him and ask for some loaves, even not to get free, but to have it for a short while. What do you need to ask to back? Believe that he will help you. Hope that he opens the door and listens to your desires. It's an example for the people of God to walk with all their needs and sorrows. They beg for mercy. But his parable teaches you, verse 9. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh dear, Byron and Janita, the Bible teaches us, for those who are awakened and have a need for grace, for conversion, for love, there is a promise. Hope. Well, at the end, the Lord Jesus says, how much more, and he speaks to the children of God, shall your heavenly Father much more than 3 loaves sustenance for this time in the world give the Holy Ghost for conversion and application of grace to them that ask him. Wonderful text for you, isn't it? Ask. And it shall be given to you. Seek. You shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. There he goes, midnight, through the streets. See him? No lamp, dark, but he walks. Hope against hope. He needs 3 loaves for the friends who came and visit him and need some refreshment, some food. There he goes. But dear friends, this text teaches us that he had to knock at a closed door. People today believe that they who pray are praying to an open door. We have closed in paradise the door. God send us out of paradise in a sword. Defending the gate. Some people say to me, yeah, Pastor, but pray and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened unto you. But listen, God's people in this life come before a closed door by nature. It must be opened. And you can't open it yourself. That's grace. Oh, I know some people are even fighting what I'm saying. You say, oh, the door is opened. The Bible doesn't teach us this here. He had to knock at a closed door. But he knocked in hope. He knocked because he believed his friend would open him. sometimes you pray and God doesn't answer immediately. I waited for the Lord Most High, and after a long time, He inclined His ear to me. We live in a time and age that people pray and they think they immediately will be answered. I don't believe it. God tries sometimes your prayers, your hopes, your trust, in a severe measure. That sometimes you think it's all in vain to pray and to wait. He won't open the door into me. It's for me too late. It's midnight. I misused my whole life by not knocking at the door, not praying, not begging. Sometimes God for a while keeps the door closed. Do you know a man in the Bible? Zacharias. Didn't he hear his prayer? He did. Didn't he answer his prayer? He did. But when did he? When all his hope was gone. When his wife was barren and never was fruitful. When he got 99 years old, like Abram, did he stop praying, some say it? But anyways, the angel says to him, oh, Byron, remember, the angel said to him, God has heard your prayer. But he doesn't answer immediately, although he answers. Sometimes better than you expect it even. Better than one of the children of God expects such an answer. Why do you knock? To awake your friend, isn't it? It's midnight. To awake him. First, and I said it already, let's go back to the parable. He thought, who is that that knocks in midnight time? Who is that? Who dares it? With all my family and all my children, like in Africa. In Africa, you have father and mother, and they lay on a row in a single hut. Probably that was the case here. One room. Father and mother, and the children on a row. In one room. Who dares to ask, isn't it rough, impolite, to awake a man with his family? And probably the man, and I'm going to speak about a man. Now I remember I should talk Dutch a bit afterwards, but let me first close this part. He said, let him knock. Probably he understands that I'm not opening. But so is not God. He hears, dear. Listen. When the need is there. Gemeente, er is een oma die in Nederland meeluistert. Ze heeft nog niet zo lang geleden haar man verloren, begraven. En de tekst is klopt en die zal opengedaan worden. Zoekt en je zult vinden. Want wie zoekt, die vindt en wie klopt zal opengedaan. Het spreekt over bidden, be the light. En om te bedelen moet je eerst ontwaken, wakker gemaakt worden uit je doodslaap, je nood zien. Want op uw noodgeschrei doe ik grote wonderen. God maakt eerst nood, voordat hij helpt uit de nood. That's practice. Dat is de praktijk van de godzaligheid. Kijk maar in de hele geschiedenis. Van al de kinderen van God. Op uw noodgeschrei doe ik grote wonder. Maar nu zul je nooit kloppen als je niet gelooft dat je gehoord wordt. Als er in de Bijbel niet een tekst is die zegt, klopt en u zal open gedaan worden. Daar is hoop in de schrift. Voor een verloren zondaar. Wakker gemaakt, ontwaakt. De slaap des doods, wetende dat hij sterven moet en God ontmoeten. Maar hij klopt. Het is middernacht. He knocks. Het is midnight. And I think how it works. Behind the door, he hears a voice. Who is there? Why do you knock? Who is this? And I believe, congregation, if you spiritually understand this text for us, but what you say is a beggar at the throne of grace, an undeserving, deserving sinner knocks at a closed door which he has closed himself. Do you hear me? I'm even ashamed to call upon you this night, but I got a friend. And I want to serve him with some bread. And therefore I come to you because I hope you can help me. Probably you have 3 loaves for me that I can share it with him. Is this a reason to ask me? The Lord Jesus teaches in his parable. He says, who will answer this for 3 loaves? You must be brutal to do it. Importunate. I knew a child of God. Does she know what she does? Sometimes she begs for a pin and a dime. If you, my dear, are not begging for small things, you won't beg for great things. A child of God walks with his God in everything. I look to you both. And sure, prayer is personal. But this morning you will kneel together. I hope that God might awake you and give reason to you to back together. Not alone. Yes, alone. To back together for mercy, goodness and grace. And hey, the door is opened. Are you there? I have 3 loaves. Come, get them. And give it to your guests, if you want it. He smiles friendly. But all his children are awoke. Sometimes we small, we man, small, smile friendly. But we murmur. Sometimes you give, and you don't like it to give. For that friend of yours is so importunate that he doesn't dare to say, I don't give it to you. If you would trust everything of man, they might even please you by a smile, but murmur you when they have to give. And when you're a problem for your neighbors, you better get you to move. Especially if God will give you to be a true Christian. The neighbor doesn't like you too much. You're a burden for their conscience even. Now, Pastor, if you're a child of God, you're always friendly. I don't see it in the Bible. They should be, but not always. But it is given. And now the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, awoke with the need of their souls. If ye then be an evil, are you? No? No, I'm reformed. Oh, yeah. And you then, Byron, being evil, are you? Yeah, I've always thought so, Pastor, and church, and... But are you? Poneros, do you know what it means? To be totally deprived. Now, is that a preaching for a wedding? Yeah, that's a preaching for a wedding. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more when you're a child of God. You're not that by birth or church alignment. You need to be born again. Your sins to be forgiven. Ingrafted, cut off from your own root, ingrafted by grace. Receiving the spirit of adoption. How much more shall your heavenly Father, who can say this here, be honest? Tell me, who knows this? Pastor, don't ask these things. Why not? It will be asked into you once. If bread, no. The Holy Ghost to apply the merits of Christ to lead you by His Word and Spirit in all the truth to direct you in His ways. Not bread. Not a big house. First, the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost to dwell in you, to teach you, to guide you, to direct you in His ways. That's the main and most important. And if that happens in your life, God makes sin the guilt. pride to shame, property to loss, life to death, that you might find everything outside of yourself in that precious husband who has a name above all name, that in the name of the Lord Jesus every knee might bow. It will bow in heaven, on earth, but there will be a place where you have to bow. And will every day in eternity, there is no day in eternity, right? But every moment say, had I knocked, being seeking, had I go back and ask you, who is the door? The door in the Bible is the gate. And in the Bible, the gate is the place where the judges sit. Have you heard about it? The gate was the place where Naomi and Ruth were set apart to be delivered by Boaz. The gate is the place of the court. Who is the open door? Who was shut? He was made sin, shut out of paradise under the judgment of God, being a door for rotten sinners to be saved by grace. To him be the glory. Knock. 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 Yeah, but Pastor, we are going now for a trip. Not good, so? Yeah, good. I'm not against it. But before you go, please, knock, Anita, Byron, knock. Will be eternity. And he has said in your text, I say unto you, not me, ask and it shall be given you, seek what you miss. Otherwise you're not seeking. Three breaths, no. The work of the Holy Ghost in the true conversion of your heart. And you'll find. Knock. And he will be an open door for a condemned and shameful sinner who knocks at midnight. Oma, klop en u zal opengedaan worden. Zoek en u zult vinden. Dat zeg ik niet. Niemand in de eeuwigheid zal kunnen zeggen, ik heb geklopt en heb niet opengedaan. God kan van mij af, maar van zijn woord niet af. Ja, pastor, it's only for the children of God. I know. It's your, the awoken sinner, with a soul need. But listen. Knock. And it shall be opened. May God bless his word unto you and to us all, traveling to an everlasting eternity. without Christ, it will be an eternal darkness. But in Christ, the gates of paradise will be newly opened for His glory's sake. May God grant this and you His grace. Let's sing now, 431, 4 and 5, 431, 4 and 5. Where we will sing together, 431, 4 and 5. Open, says the Lord, wife, why thy mouth believing this my covenant word, if I will, if thou plead for thine every need, all thy wants relieving. 4 and 5, 431. Read the marriage form, and we read it as follows. Whereas, you will look it up, so I won't. could give you the number, but I have printed it out here so that I can't even give you the number, but you'll find it probably. Let's read. Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, Byron, Leonard Klein, and Yankee Anita Hoover, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God before His church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear therefore from the word of God how honorable the marriage state is, and that it's an institution of God which is pleasing to Him. Wherefore He also will, as He has promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary judge and punish warmongers and adulterers. In the first place, are you to know that God our Father, after He had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in His own image and likeness, that He should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after He had created man, He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Therefore, you are not to doubt, but that the married state is pleasing to the Lord, since He made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her Himself to him, to be his wife, witnessing thereby that He does yet as with His hand bring into every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with His presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that He will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving it. But that thou may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God has instituted the same. The first reason is that each faithfully assist the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to His glory and their salvation. That each of them, thirdly, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lust, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her husband, 1 Corinthians 7:2. Insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continence are bound to the command of God to enter into the married state with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled, for whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, are you to know how each is bound to behave respectively towards the other according to the word of God first. You are the bridegroom, must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, that you according to your ability shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, assistance to His church. Besides, you are to love your wife and your own body as your own body, as Christ has loved His church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it's God's command that man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, Genesis 3:19, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling where God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner, must you, who are the bride, know how you are to carry yourself toward your husband according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent, for Adam was created first, and then Eve, to be a help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God, and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands. And Sarah was obedient to Abram, calling him her Lord. You shall also be a help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride. I ask you to stand now. Wherefore you, Byron Leonard Klein, and Yankee Anita Hoover, having now understood that God has instituted marriage, and what he commands you therein, are you willing thus to behave yourselves in this holy state, as you here do confess before the Christian assembly, and desirous that you be confirmed in the same? What's your both answers? I take you all who are witness here that there is brought no lawful impediment. Since then, it's fit that you be furthered in your work. The Lord God confirm you. Purpose, your purpose which he has given you in your beginning, be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I want you to give each other the right hand. Byron Leonard Klein, you acknowledge here before God and his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Yankee Anita Hoover, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will holily live with her, keeping faith and truth to her in all things according to the Holy Gospel. What's your answer? Jantje, Janita Hoover, you acknowledge here before God and his holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband, Byron Leonard Klein, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband, according to the Holy Gospel. What's your answer? wonderful day to be married and see God's goodness leading you to this day. But Byron Leonard Klein, do you give this ring to Jantje Janita Hoover as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? Jantje Janita Hoover, do you give this ring to Byron Leonard Klein as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? The Father of all mercies, who of His grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you His blessing. Amen. You know from the Gospel, affirm the bond of marriages as described in Matthew 19:3-9. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, Have you not read that He which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be of one flesh. Wherefore, there are no more twain, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And they say unto Him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery, and whoso married her which is put away, this commit adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your God, your Lord God, has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and as all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. Congregation will sing 436, the second stanza. And while singing, the couple will kneel. And after prayer, we will all stand and sing the third stanza of 436. Almighty God, Thou who dost manifest Thy goodness and wisdom in all Thy works and ordinances, And from the beginning has said that it's not good that man be alone, and therefore has created him an helpmate to be with him, and ordained that they who are two should be one, and who durst also punish all impurity. We pray thee, since thou hast called and united these two persons in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live holy according to thy divine will and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt please to give them, in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In your family, and if you don't know, God might teach you. And you have an office too, to honor your husband for one purpose together. This is the word of God. It's the best present of today. When I was in the Netherlands in the Dutch Reformed Church, we had all kinds of people in the congregation. Sometimes when we were on house visitation, I asked for the family Bible, and they had to look for it. They didn't know where it was. It should have a prominent place in your bedroom, in your kitchen, no, Pastor. In your dining room, in your office. You know that in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and following, it says that the word of God, the Jews did it by example, had to place the text of Deuteronomy 6 between their eyes. Why? Their eyes should be guided by the grace of God, by His word. Upon their hands, your hands, your work, your business, should be guided by the precious, glorious, gracious Word of God. And they had to put a little pocket on the door. Your house, your family should be ruled by the Word of God. In my life, there has been a time that we were reading the Bible and I didn't pay that much attention to it. Until the Lord awoke me and I started to read and every page condemned me. I closed the Bible and said, can't read this. But God pulled me through. And I'm not telling you the whole story, it's not important. But it came a time I couldn't stop reading it and crying for my sin's sake, but more for Christ's sake, the pearl of great worth. I hope, I don't know, Janita, God knows, Byron, that there comes a time you dare to read the Bible. Condemns you from every page. But that may be a time for you. You see the condemnation of you from the judge of heaven and earth laid upon Christ Jesus to set you free. Oh, that beloved bridegroom. That glorious bridegroom. That faithful bridegroom. That Savior, sent by the Father to save to the ultimate purpose. I hope God will bless you and be a blessing. You work at the place where you can have bargains. Good grace is free. Sovereign for those who are condemned. May God bless you together, and that it might be for you a guide for time and eternity by the application of the Holy Ghost. May God bless you all. Family, some words. We had 9 children, and when one apple was fallen from the tree, I felt it. My wife was always happy when it was a good bond. But sometimes she stared at me and said, again one gone. He said, dear, when all the apples are fallen, the stem will be cut off. And we must meet God. And that's true. So it might be a blessed day for you, but your house is more empty than it was before. And one day, your tree will be cut. And it has to be cut here before it's forever lasting delight. Engrafted in Him, Martha, and yeah. You will miss her, and she will miss you. But I hope she doesn't look backwards because she is so home at home with Byron in the new home in Otterville, prepared for a long period of time. That blue home, isn't it blue? Wonderful color, dear. That blue little home, and I hope God may bless you. Do you know what's a wonder? That you have a home with a key, and if you don't like someone to come in, just close the door. And there should be a better way. If you are in your closet, close the door. And what you ask in secret, says the Lord, will be given to you in public. May God bless you all. You can sit. we end with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought together this young couple. And I've seen they love each other. That's grace. It's not eternal grace, but it's a blossom from paradise that stayed beyond us, behind among us. Although we see in the world that the marriage is reproachable, they say. Lord, we pray that the family might be witnesses of their joint marriage and living together, be gracious to them. Remember the furtherance of this day, apply the gospel to our hearts. Give us the need, the inward condemnation, the night to back, to knock at Thy door for the bread of life with Thy dear Son. We ask it for Thy name's sake. Amen. Congregation, we'll end this sermon. Yeah, it's not on my thing, but I think we'll sing another song out of the Psalters, and then there will be the blessing. Let's sing 445, the stanza 1 and 3, and to the hills I lift mine eyes, and the third, Jehovah is thy keeper, 1 and 3, 445. I ask you to rise for the blessing and then we proceed to the signing ceremony. The Lord may keep and protect thee. The love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Ghost might be given to you. For Jesus' sake only. Amen. By the authority of the Government of Ontario, I may present to you Mr. and Mrs. Byron Klein. May God bless them.